Let's turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. We pick it up in verse 15 today. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 15 to 17 tonight. In 1 John, we've been talking about love and life and light. And when we are in love with Jesus and with God the Father, when we are born again and have this relationship with the Lord, with the Father through Jesus, we experience real life, real love, and light. And light means truth. We're not in darkness, we know truth. It's only through Jesus. 1 John 1, verse 6 and 7, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Light means that we walk in truth. It means we don't have darkness. You know, we can say, I get it, I see. Because the light bulb went on when we received Jesus, the Holy Spirit in us teaches us, and we see it. And when you talk to other people, you say, don't you get it? Don't you see it? They don't, because they didn't turn the light on. You turn the light on by asking Jesus into your life, and you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And so we walk in light. We walk in truth. We're no longer blind. And as a result, we have real life. You can't have real life if you're living in a dark room with no lights. You don't even know what's going on. But if you're in the light and you keep walking in the light in Jesus, you see. And so we're not blind. But when we have this love for God and this relationship, we're going to love others also. We read that in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 2. He who says he is in the light knows the Lord and hates his brother. He is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. See, love is the sign of a disciple, loving one another. It's a sign you're in the light. Now, this book is about love, and now we're going to get warned concerning love. What kind of love? Our love. In 1 John chapter 2, we ended with verses 12 to 14, how John wrote to little children. We explained that. The fathers, the older believers, young men, and little children and fathers again, the young that are strong in the Lord. So he's written to all believers. He was addressing all believers. And he says in verse 15, here's what he's writing. He says, I write to you in verses 12 to 14, and here's what he's writing. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's good to know as a Christian, right up front, as soon as you give your life to Christ, do not love the world or the things in the world. Remember when Jesus gave the parable of the sower? You know, three of them just didn't take, because the desire for riches or the seed of this world snagged it away. We can't love the world as Christians. You know, love, which means that that's our heart's affection. That's first in our life. Do not love the world or the things in the world, else the love of the Father is not in him. Today we go over worldliness and godliness. What is meant by the world when it talks about the world in the Bible here in the New Testament? It's not talking about God's creation, like the world. The Psalms speak of his beauty of creation. We enjoy it. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, it talks about enjoying his creation. And we do. So it's not talking about that. You know, it means the world system under Satan's control. Who's the prince of this world? Satan. The worldly system, not under God's authority, not God's kingdom, the world system, which is under Satan's leadership. Jesus said he's the prince of this world, the ruler of this world. It talks about the fallen world opposed to Christ. In John 16:11, he says the ruler, the prince of this world, is judged. He's called the ruler and the prince of this world. And we can tell he's going rampant. Really now he's devouring people. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. The God of this age, Satan, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. He's blinded people. He blinds people. Their mind is blinded. This world, this age, it encompasses the materialism, worldly spirituality, immorality, all opposed to God and the Lord when it talks about the world. You can either serve the world or you serve the Lord. You're under man's authority, Satan's authority, or under God's. And we're going to read a lot about the world. So we have a warning in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. This means your affection toward, first in your heart toward. Because if you do, it shows you don't have the love of God in you. You're pursuing the world. Most people are pursuing something in the world. Our God is a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4:24. He's a jealous God. He loves us and he desires our love in return. He doesn't like to share us. See, like when you're married, you serve your spouse, you love your spouse, or you love other people more. God says, I'm your father, you're to love me more than the world. And he doesn't like to share us. So do not love the world. He's saying your attitude shouldn't be toward worldly things. The love of God and the love of the world are contrary to each other. When I'm in love with God, I act differently than if I am in love with the world. When I am in love with God, I make right decisions. I choose God. God's first. He's supreme. And when you love God, you want to please him and you don't want to sin. Now, in verse 15, you notice it says, do not love the world or the things in the world, else the love of the Father is not in him. We all know that one word for love in the Greek, agape. You know, there's like a few words for love in the Greek. In that verse 15, when it says, do not love the world, the Greek word for love there is agapeo, which means the social or moral love. It's a friendship, it's a social love. Do not love the world. In other words, don't love the world. Be in it. When it says, else the love of the Father is not in him, that word for love there is agape, which is translated as charity in the Old King James. It's an unconditional affection or love. So the love of the world, it's kind of a emotional, feely type thing. That means then you don't have the love, the agape love of the Father in you. You're settling for less. You don't really know what love's all about. When you put God first, you love him and you seek him. And then he goes on in verse 16, for all that is in the world, here's what it compromises of, this love that people have for the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, when we study the Bible, it's for us. It's not, it's for us and for us to share. But when we study the Bible, we're in the Word of God, it's God speaking to us. We shouldn't read things and say, and then rail on other people and say, yeah, well, they're this way and they're that way, and this is this way and that's that way. We have to check ourselves out. We have to first check ourselves out. Am I in love with God or the world? And do I have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life in me? Or do I have the love of God in me? Because a lot of times we can think, well, I could never go there. I'm okay. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Sin comes from one of those sources. All sin. Right, and from the beginning. And it says it's not of God, the Father, but it's of the world. Satan heads up the worldly system. And he sums up these temptations in the three areas. Love of the flesh, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Temptation comes in three forms. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know what Jesus said to his disciples, to be his disciples? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Just because we're a born-again Christian doesn't mean we don't get tempted. That's why these words are for us. We can get tempted and ruin our relationship with the Father. He says, deny yourself. There are times we're going to be tempted, and we simply have to deny ourselves and resist temptation and follow Jesus. Whereas people in the world would say, enjoy yourself, indulge, have a good time. You deserve it. Please yourself, even at the cost of hurting you or others or displeasing God. I don't think the world even thinks of displeasing God. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is very interesting in 2 Timothy 3. We went over this a couple of months ago about the last days on Sunday when we were talking about that. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, we're told, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Why? Look at what it says. For men will be lovers of themselves. That same love. They're going to love themselves. They're going to be lovers of money. That's what they're going to love more than God. And it goes on, proud and all of that. Verse 3, it says they're going to be unloving. And then it says in verse 4, they're going to be traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It says that's the way it's going to be in the last days. And it's going to be perilous because everybody will be loving the world. Not everybody, but most people will be loving the world. Loving money, loving pleasure, loving themselves. And that's opposite of loving God. And it comes in lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, verse 16. First, lust of the flesh. I think we all know what that means. It talks about all that appeals to man's fallen nature. And when we're a Christian, we don't get rid of the flesh. We resist it. We nail it to the cross. We have to watch out for the lust of the flesh. That's not of the Father. Sexual immorality. Pornography. Drunkenness. Gluttony. Drugs. Self-satisfaction. Indulgence. God calls these things sin. Lust of the flesh. Oh, I want to do that. We can relate to it when in eating. Oh, I just want to eat that. And it can become gluttony. It's good to eat, but it's sinful to overeat and be gluttonous. And all these things, God has a place for them, except these sinful things like drugs and sexual immorality. But these things can take any form. I can overindulge in a good thing. And it takes my time away or my mind away from God. And that begins to run my life. You know, we eat, we drink, we sleep, we have children. We beget children. God has put all those desires in man. He's put all those things in man. But when they are controlled by our fallen nature, when we abuse these things and go against God's word, they become sin. See, we're never going to get rid of these desires, but when we overindulge in them or go to them in the wrong way, then they become sin. That's giving into the lust of the flesh. We are not to love this world. We don't have to love that. We're to eat to live, but not live to eat. There's a difference. See, we are not to love this world. Say, oh, I love doing that. We're to resist temptation. We can enjoy God's blessings here. We can enjoy His creation, relation with the opposite sex, but according to God's word in that plan of marriage. And all these things are given to us to enjoy according to God, the way He wants us to enjoy them. These three things began in the garden. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, you know, after God told them not to eat of the tree, he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. See, God says, you can eat anything you want, but not that tree. And he had a reason for that. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Oh, God's just trying to cheat you out of eating something. You won't die if you do that. It's like today, people will say, well, this feels okay to me to do this, so it must be okay with God, so I'll indulge in it. No. If God's word says, you don't do that, you don't do that. And you know, the devil's there still talking today. He says, oh, you're not going to die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now here's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh. Hey, God said don't eat it, but it looks good to eat. Man, that looks good. Lust of the eyes. That it was pleasant to the eyes. Oh, it looked beautiful. That fruit must have been really beautiful because it stood out. And why would God say not to eat that when it's so beautiful? And man, it just looks delicious. And boy, that would be so great to just bite into that. A lot of people rationalize, well, it's okay for us to have this relationship outside of marriage because it feels so right. How can it be wrong? And believe it or not, we've heard that in the last couple of weeks. If it's so wrong, why would it feel so right? It must be okay. Because, you know, having this affair over here or God putting us together, it wouldn't happen unless, you know, it didn't feel right, but it feels right and it's good, so it must be. God says it's okay. That's exactly what Satan told Eve. Hey, you're not going to die if you do that. It's okay. And she saw that it was good for food, and it was pleasant to, oh, but this is so good. It looks so good. Then the pride of life. And also, a tree desirable to make one wise. The pride of life. Oh, I want to be wise like God. I think I'll take of this fruit, whatever it is. We call it an apple, but we don't know for sure. And the pride of life can be desirable in a form of knowledge. Oh, I want more knowledge. And I fill up my life with seeking knowledge, but not God or the Bible. There are people, and we even know people that are professional students. They're just going to school their whole life. Learning and learning and learning. And people want knowledge. These are temptations. See, that's what the world has to offer. Who was behind this? Satan. Who's behind it today? Satan. We don't see this guy with horns and a pitchfork, do we? But he's there. Hey, try this. This is good. Do this. It's all right. No one will find out about it. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. So Eve fell because she didn't listen to God's word. Another person that was tempted, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. But you notice here, he was led up by the Spirit. And that's where we are. We're in the Spirit. We're walking in the light. Eve wasn't. We're walking in the light. He was led up and was tempted by the devil. Now, I can tell you this. If he was tempted, we're going to be tempted. If he even tried to tempt Jesus, you can be sure we'll be tempted. And you know, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, if you read chapter 4 on your own. But each time he was tempted, what did he use? The word of God. He says, nope. The word of God says this. And that's what we do when we're tempted. We just don't give in. Eve allowed herself to be ruled by the flesh, the world, and pride. She was worldly. Jesus was ruled by the Father, and he had victory. You know, in James 4, verse 7, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We need to resist the devil. Just say no. Now, sin is very evident. There are things that we know that are sinful, and it's very evident. We know they're wrong. They're evil. We have the commandments. We have God's word. Stealing, murder, lying, adultery, worshiping idols. All these things we know about. But the lust of the flesh can be other things which sometimes seem okay. Things we simply want. And they take the place of God in our heart. Our job. Our profession. Our seeking knowledge, our desire for pleasure, loving ourselves and pleasing ourselves, putting some occupation or some entertainment before God, like that becomes our life. We pursue it in life. We do whatever it takes, and that becomes our life. That becomes our God. We're doing it on Sundays. We're doing it every day of the week. This just becomes our passion, you see. That's sinful. That's the lust of the flesh. Being healthy is a good example. God wants us to be healthy. We're to take care of this temple. But there are people that want such a great body, they get obsessed with the flesh, and they're so busy sculpting their body, they forget God. They're just involved in that all the time. Lust of the flesh takes over a person's life, mind, and heart. Then we see in verse 16, there's the lust of the eyes. I see something and I want it. I covet it. And my eyes are on the thing or even on people. And I want them. And that becomes my obsession in life. Coveting. We have to watch out that we don't commit lust of the eyes. It gets us in trouble. Lust of the eyes gets us into covetousness. Hey, I want that. I've got to have that. And I start pursuing that. It looks so shiny and gold. And I want to reach the top. I want the gold. It looks good. And then in verse 16, he says, there's the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. The Greek word for pride here is aladzonia. And what it was used for is to describe a braggart who was trying to impress people with his importance. That's what a person was called that was trying always to impress people with how important they are, show them how important they are. Boaster, braggadocious. See, people want to outdo others. People want to be first. People want to be popular. So God isn't in their thoughts. They want to be on top. Just go try and correct them, and guess what? They're going to get angry at you. They don't take correction too well because they're prideful. How dare you say something wrong about me? I'm perfect. Don't you know that? How can you correct me? A lot of people in the world like that. They're very prideful. And they'll even tell you, because you're a Christian, well, you think you're better than me. And what they're really saying is, I'm better than you. I don't think I'm better than you. I'm just trying to share love with you in the gospel. God isn't in their thoughts. They want a better this, a better that. They want position in life. In Jeremiah 9, verse 24, it says, but let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. We know that God hates pride. In Proverbs 6, he hates it. Because pride puts us on the throne. We make ourselves better than anybody else, and even God. Pride comes before destruction. Self rules. People love themselves. They love to be praised. You know, it's foolish to seek praise from the world, because the world and people in the world will let you down. They may love you one day, but next week they could hate you. We've all seen that happen. We don't need to put up any mask or promote ourselves. We know that God loves us. God will never fail you. He'll never let you down. We glory in the Lord. So back to our text, verse 16, it says, and these things are not of the Father, but they're of the world. It just shows that a person is of the world. They're not. These things aren't of the Father. Many, many, and what the world calls important people have been brought to nothing due to the love of this world. Remember King Nebuchadnezzar? He was bragging about his big empire. Look what I have done. He walked around and said, look what I built. Look what I have done. And God said, oh, okay. And he took his throne away, put him out in the fields eating with the cattle. And he was humbled. And he learned his lesson. Now, to keep life in perspective, to keep focusing on God, walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. And remember this, verse 17. Remember this, the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The world is passing away, and you and I are passing away from the world. This is all temporary. It doesn't matter what we achieve here. The world may call you a failure. They called Paul a fool. Everybody thought he was a failure. It doesn't matter. This is going to pass away. It doesn't matter what we attain here, as long as we're a good and faithful servant of the Lord. And we hear the Lord one day, you good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. This is all, the world is passing away, and the lust of it. It's all going to end for all these people that are unbelievers. It's going to end. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The Living Bible says it this way, and it's a paraphrased version. And this world is fading away, and these evil, forbidden things will go with it. But whoever keeps doing the will of God will live forever. It sounds good. It's worth giving up something that's just seasonal for something that's permanent. That's good. People all over the world are selling their souls to the devil very cheaply for some instant pleasure that's passing away. You know, look at yourself in the mirror. You are passing away. Right before your own eyes, we're passing away. Getting older, day after day, we are all going to end here. But he who does the will of God will live forever. I read this. If you're focusing or just concentrating on this world, it's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. if your heart and you're concentrating on just this world, it's like rearranging the deck chairs on a Titanic and liking the Titanic to look good. It's going down. That's what it's like here. We're going down. We're on a Titanic. Why are we rearranging and making everything look more beautiful? It's all going to end. That's a waste of time, isn't it? The Bible tells us we're strangers and pilgrims here, and we're not going to take anything with us. You know, every great nation in history has become decadent and was finally conquered by other nations. We are a fallen, we always fall from within. We're seeing that in our country. Some 19 world civilizations in the past have slipped into oblivion. 19 world civilizations, like the Roman Empire and all the others, they have slipped into oblivion. They don't exist anymore. It happens to everyone. Because man can't rule. You know what's the trouble with man ruling? Man is ruling. And they're not God. And man can't get along. I can guarantee if we put five people in a circle and start talking about a subject, we're not going to all agree. There'll be a little difference. And the more people you bring in, the worse it gets, and the worse it gets, and the worse it gets. What's better? Heaven. That's for eternity. This is passing away. We're on the Titanic. Jim Elliot, a missionary, said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he can't lose." Don't ever feel you missed out on anything. He says, you know, you're no fool if you give up what you're not going to be able to keep and hang on to for something that you can't lose. That's Jesus. We serve him. We hold on to him. So there's pressure on us to conform to the world today, to be popular, to be like the world, to be pleased here. What we need to focus on is love the Father. Serve the Lord. God, we thank you for your word today. We pray that our hearts would be united toward you. We thank you that you've given us life. That one day we're going to go up and not down. We'll be with you in heaven forever. Don't ever let us feel like we've missed out on anything or that we don't have anything, Lord. We have you. We've been blessed to have faith to believe in you. We have Jesus in our life. We have hope. We know you'll take care of us. Continue, Lord, to feed us your word. Let us have a desire for it. And Lord, I pray that we all follow it, that we just make it our life to be well-pleasing to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.